Thus says the Lord through his prophet, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven and return not, but water the earth, making it break forth and sprout, bringing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that for which I have sent it, and succeed in the purposes I have directed. O Lord, let this so happen today through your servant. Amen. It's late at night. Your kids are all tucked in bed. And you're just settling down in the quiet to read a book, watch TV, maybe go to sleep yourself. And then you hear it, sobbing, coming from your little child's room. When you go in there, you're told, "I'm scared." Now, first, you're a good parent, so you're sympathetic, you're understanding, you're gentle. You soothe the cries. You check and prove that there's no monsters under the bed or in the closet. You've seen those movies. You console the little tyke. You fluff the blankets. You maybe even say a prayer together. Of course, none of that works. It isn't until so long that you've left the room and you hear it start up all over again. Now, here is where parents differ. How many times they return to calm their child? Once? Twice? Five times? Really doesn't matter, because eventually you're going to get mad. Because if there's ever going to be peace in your house, if your child is ever going to fall asleep, as my daughter Laura explained it to a friend at age 5, "I used to be scared of ghosts. Now I'm more afraid of my father." Jesus said, "Don't fear those who only can kill the body but cannot kill your soul. Fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Now lately it seems I'm going through that whole bedtime ritual all over again. Only not as the parent, this time as the child. It's me that's screaming and crying at the wrong things. This ever happened to you? You're driving down the road, and suddenly there's a bee in the car, and you go, "Ah!" And you drive around and almost go into oncoming traffic. That's really dumb, but we do it. And that's what the gospel addresses today. And Jesus has a two-word answer for us. Don't fear. Yeah, like that's going to work. All of us are afraid of something. And frankly, just telling us that we have nothing to fear just isn't going to quite cut it. Fear is the universal emotion. Even animals, and recently a study said some plants exhibit fear. At its simplest and most benign, fear is the internal warning signals of an imminent danger, what researchers call a self-correcting behavior mechanism, which tells you without thinking whether you should fight, flight, or hide. The thing is, though, fear is hardly ever simple or benign. We've got our major fears: terrorist attacks, overwhelming debt, our own mortality. We have minor fears, demands at work, worries about our kids, going to the dentist, the car breaking down. And we all have our individual personalized fears, whether it's darkness, heights, spiders and snakes, speaking in public. Each and every one of us are afraid of one thing or another. In fact, we are, from our very origins in life, taught to fear. I mean, when you're a kid, your mom never told you as you were going outside, "Take risks, embrace danger, look one way when you cross the street." No, she said, "Watch out, be careful or you're going to get hurt." And we kept our eyes wide open ever since. We fear thunderstorms, criticism, big dogs, global warming, cancer. We fear fear itself. There's so much to choose from out there, enough to make you cry out loud in the middle of the night. All those fears. But how many of us actually fear God? That's the question Jesus says we need to ask ourselves. With so much out there to be afraid of, how much, how often do we fear the Lord? Or we made him so mild-mannered and loving and indulgent that there's not much left for us to fear. A nice, forgiving old man who we can take advantage of with a little devotion every now and then. Sometimes some of those chorus songs we sing, they really make me cringe. You know, it says, I want to see you. I want to come to you face to face. I want to be your buddy, God. You know, and every time God comes down on earth or even just sends an angel in scripture, the first thing they have to do is say, don't be afraid. Come on, chill out. It's all right. It's me. Martin Luther was terrified of God. Terrified of the notion of coming face to face with a righteousness like that. He found out that he could never please him, and he actually grew to hate God until he discovered one night the beautiful passage in Romans where it says we're forgiven by grace. But even then, that experience never left him. And every time he would talk and present an explanation to a commandment, it began with, you should fear and love God. Now, we're not talking about that trembling, shaking in your boots kind of terror, but respect, apprehension, gratitude, devotion, intimidation all rolled into one. The phrase fear of the Lord is used more than 200 times in the Bible, and it's characteristic of everyone from Aaron to Zerubbabel. It's what kept them going and even thriving no matter how nasty things ever got. So we can draw two conclusions from this. On the one hand, a genuine fear of God diminishes all our other fears. And on the other, the less we fear God, the more we start fearing everything else. Which brings us back to Jesus' words on that subject. Fear not. I mean, he recognizes the dangers of fear. No doubt he saw it working on the faces of his disciples as he spoke to them. It was completely understandable just the way he described them going as sheep among wolves and how much persecution and adversity they're going to face because of him. He paints discipleship in its worst possible light and then tells them, have no fear. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I know that's easier said than done, but these aren't just empty words. This isn't put on a false bravado. They're actually his invitation, his answer, his promise, his assurance. Fear God and fear nothing else. Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming where everything will be revealed and all that is secret will be made public. Now, if you're like me, probably your deepest fears are those kept most private, those you don't really talk to anybody about. The fears of being found out who you really are, or found lacking, or found wanting, or just found out. That's what keeps you up late at night, what makes you do things you don't want to do, that fear of an uncertain future. I mean, how many todays are ruined by worries about tomorrow? And these are never the earth-shattering fears. They're always those nagging anxieties that keep wearing us down, failing a test, unfaithfulness, financial ruin, things like that. And we actually pray. We say, God, what are we going to do? And instead, Jesus tells us what not to do. Fear. Let it out. Confess. Early in my ministry in Manitoba, there was a lady in our congregation that I really wanted to work with our youth. She kind of like was really friendly. She made great cookies, gave good hugs, and the kids kind of liked her, and she seemed to like the kids. But every time I asked her, would you want to help with the youth group? Would you want to be my assistant and do this and all? No. And so finally I had this great idea. We'd take the entire youth group, which was almost 20 kids at the time and their friends, and we would surprise her. We'd go to her house, all fill her front porch, and say, we'd like you to be our youth helper. And she broke down in tears. And she said, I can't. And when they begged and pushed her, she said, it's because I never really learned to read. And there was a silence. And one kid named Bruce, who never seemed to be clueless except in the very precious moments, said, well, we can do all the reading. We just want you to hang around with us. And she did. Jesus promises that. That what we spend most of our time worrying about is so temporary. That what's blurred today will blind you with clarity tomorrow. That what you can barely whisper now will be something you'll proclaim from the rooftops. Whatever it is that gives you the greatest trepidation at the moment will fill you with confidence next. No matter what fears we may harbor today, they will not last forever. We're better off being more afraid of him who has our entire eternal destiny in his hands. To look beyond the perils of each individual day and look to the future that Christ himself guarantees all who follow him. Jesus says, don't be afraid. You are a lot more valuable than many sparrows. I don't know how valuable that is, but it's pretty good words to hear when fear, you know, starts to stick us with its paralyzing talons. We matter to Almighty God. I mean, how neat is that? You ever notice that today, I was thinking about this. You ever notice how we consign our biggest fears, usually to giant, impersonal entities? Our health to HMOs and other sort of corporations, our insurance disasters that could happen to giant insurance companies, our retirement to investment firms, our safety to police. I mean, they're all, we need that because they have to be big enough to be able to protect us. We know they don't know us from Adam. We're just a number, or maybe even not even that. But we think that we have to sacrifice our personal significance in order to receive adequate protection. That's folly. It's not the way it is with God. And that's why Jesus assures us over and over again, do not be afraid. God is great, but he's not too awesome or too immense that he doesn't know us intimately, inside and out, our courages and our fears. He's concerned about 2 and a penny sparrows. He even knows how many hairs on our head. And some of us make it easier for him to know that than others. God loves us. We're special to him. All of us. All the time. God can act and he will act on our behalf. He's mindful of us and knows even more than we do what will make us thrive. So whatever it is you're worrying about, don't. Well, okay, maybe you can worry a little. But a good rule of thumb is, for every fear you have, try to summon up twice as much faith. We have nothing to be afraid of if we fear the Lord. In fact, living with that kind of fear will only make us more courageous. C.S. Lewis in his Narnia Chronicles has one of the central figures, characters in it, this giant lion named Aslan, a Christ figure that pops in and out and is in control even though most of the time he's not part of the plot. And in the first book, the children asked Mrs. Beaver, when she tells them about Aslan, they say, is he safe? And she says, of course not, he's not safe, but he's good. And the children begin to love him. In a later volume, one of the girls says, Aslan, you look bigger than you were before. And he answers, that's because your needs are bigger. And even later, when one says, Aslan, when you're near, I'm not afraid of anything. And the lion says, then you need never be afraid again. I pray that you discover that same thing. That courageous, hard-to-believe truth behind Jesus' words. Fear God. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus, life everlasting.